Good morning. I'm Aaron Winiwiski. I'm the pastor here. And how many of you are old enough to remember when you could order tapes? There were advertisements you could order tapes for Hooked on Phonics. Remember Hooked on Phonics? Hooked on Phonics? Isn't it ironic that if you were to phonetically pronounce the word phonics, it would be like pahonics? Like, I mean, phonics is about pronouncing things according to how they're spelled, and phonics is spelled with a P. So is Psalms, all right? We pronounce it Psalms, and we're just messing around by calling our current series the Psalms of Summer, both with a P. Don't use what you learned in Hooked on Phonics in order to pronounce those. And I am so excited this morning that I get to tell some stories about what went on over the last week in Backyard Missions. We get to celebrate that, and we're going to dig into a psalm that's towards the end of the book of Psalms, Psalm 146. And there is this word that if you look into the original language that the psalms were written in, there's a word that comes up, and it's a word that's familiar to us. The word is hallelujah. And sometimes we say words and we don't really think about what does that mean? Where does it come from? If we do think about it, we have the tools today where you can just look it up. Hallelujah is a combination of words, actually. Hallel is praise. If you say hallelujah, it's like saying y'all praise. It's like telling people, all of y'all. I don't know if that's proper English, but I'll have to check on my phonics tapes. All of y'all praise is hallelujah, and then yah, this like J-A-H, again, not, you don't sound it, we usually say yah, sometimes you'll run into this if you listen to any Bob Marley, and we'll be forever, love and yah, he's talking about God. J-A-H is a shortened version of God's name. So when we look in Scripture, we'll run across something, and I'm sorry, I got to get on track here. This takes a lot out of a person, by the way. I really appreciate the people on the music team after I've done this. Like, wow, thank you, music team. Psalm 146, starting in verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. That's our English translation, praise the Lord. But we know that what's closer to the Hebrew is y'all praise now. Praise Yah. Now, and what you see here on the screen is actual photos of my Bible all marked up. Because I want you to see when I read my Bible, what do I do in there? It is not sacrilegious to write in your Bible. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you look, you can see Lord is this L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is an English translation of a word that has become known as the tetragrammaton. I gotta make sure that I said it right. I gotta double check here. Tetragrammaton, yeah. Which is a four-letter Hebrew word that is the name of God in Scripture. So it looks like, I think we've got, can put that up on the screen now. Yes. The name of God, four letters. Yod-Hod, Vod-Hod, and sometimes we're not exactly sure how it's pronounced, but sometimes you hear it pronounced Jehovah. Sometimes you'll hear it pronounced Yahweh. Most often, you won't hear people say it because that's a sign of respect to the name of the Lord. So when it's translated in Scripture, rather than having this name put in there, we'll see that capital L and then lower, smaller capital O-R-D, and we'll know that the writer is using the actual name of the Lord. So, hallelujah is praise the Lord in a personal way. Now, we did just come out of Backyard Missions. And we did this thing in Backyard Missions where we would we'd have teams that were going out. If you're not familiar with it, I'll try to walk you through it a little bit. We'd come together for breakfast. We'd split up into teams. Teams would go to assignments. They'd pack a lunch. They'd bring the lunch with them, and they would they'd have lunch on site and continue projects. And then in early evening, everybody would come back together, and we would do this thing we called God sightings. So as you're on your project, and it's more than just a project, it is missions. It's not just service projects. So we're looking for opportunities to pray for people. And I'm going to get into some of those stories in just a moment. When we would share a God sighting, we would essentially express hallelujah, praise the Lord. We would do it in a certain way, though. Because when people are sharing stories, it gets a little bit cumbersome to be like, oh, should we clap or not? What if somebody doesn't get a clap and somebody else does? Does that mean theirs is better than the others? How long should you clap? We just said, let's simplify this. We'll share a story, and then somebody in the group, and it would the responsibility for this would move just on whoever felt like saying, somebody in the group. And if you were in Backyard Missions, you can help me out here. Somebody in the group would say, one, two, three, yay, God. There were a lot of people in Backyard Missions, okay? And that's how we would express hallelujah during the God sightings. Now, what's a God sighting? I'll give you an example. We had a project where we were putting windows into a home and taking out these old windows, the original with the house, you know, they're wooden, the glazing is coming off, the wood is rotting, some of them are broken. We're stacking them up outside the house. And somebody had the idea, I'd love to give credit, I don't remember who this was, why don't we make those available on Facebook? Let's let people know, because sometimes people like these if they're crafty and they want to do something. So let's put it on Facebook. And the next day, sure enough, people started coming one at a time, which I thought was interesting. One at a time, so we had an opportunity to have a conversation with them. We're all wearing t-shirts that say New Day Christian Church on them, and we're changing out windows, and we have people who are available to have conversations. So one at a time, people are coming, and some of them, of course, are asking, so what's going on here? What's this all about? And we get a chance to talk about what God is doing. There was one encounter in particular where Tiffany, who was on that project, is having a conversation with a person, a young woman who's picking up windows, and I'm just kind of observing like what's happening here, and I'm observing the person who lives at the home, and I'm wondering if maybe there's an opportunity for a connection here between neighbors. So I asked the person who lives in the home, is this person a neighbor? She said, no, I don't recognize her. And I thought, okay, well, maybe she lives down the street and I can introduce them. This is what I'm concocting in my mind. So I approach, and Tiffany's having this conversation, and it's obvious there's a rapport happening here because they're talking about more than just windows. And I ask the woman, so do you live around here? She said, no, I live on a different part of town. Oh, and then she continues talking, and she's opening up, and I realize there's a connection happening between Tiffany and this one. There's a lot of trust happening here. So at one point, I just simply say, well, make sure to tell your biggest prayer request to Tiffany, and she'll pray for you. And then I walked away. I just dropped a prayer grenade. And later, Tiffany's telling the story as part of God's stories. And she asks me, Aaron, did you overhear what we were talking about? Is that why you came and talked to us? And I was like, no, I had a whole different scheme in mind. And she just was amazed at the timing and what God had orchestrated and the prayer and the connection they had together. And when somebody would share something like that in the evening, we would say, one, two, three, yay, God. There was another situation. Joe came back from doing a just kind of a wrap-up. There were just a couple of little things that needed to be done at a house where we had put a roof on a small garage. And while we were there, we did a little bit of like painting of some trim, and he went along with Mr. Tom to just clean that up and finish it up. And Joe came back after that project and said, okay, so we got there and we were going to finish up the trim, and he gave us this can of paint that was almost empty. And Joe said, I thought we weren't going to be able to finish the trim. But we just went to it. We finished the trim. And then what did this guy say? He said, we have a door. We got a door that needs to be painted. Well, okay. And they finished the door. And then he said, oh, there's another door that needs to be painted. Did one of them get two coats?
Two and three coats
on these doors with paint that Joe didn't know if it was going to be enough to finish the trim. So he comes back and he shares that. And doesn't it just sound like God multiplying something until a need is met? Multiplying what we thought would never be enough. And he makes it more than enough to do the job well. One, two, three, yay God. So this is the kind of thing we would do. And our yay God is kind of that hallelujah feel that the psalmist is writing about. So in this psalm, it starts with that hallelujah. It starts with that yay God. It starts with, come on, everybody. Praise the Lord. And then it continues. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. We've learned about joy and we've learned about love, and we learned that joy sings. Love praises. You can see there's some of this is highlighted in orange. That's because with my Bible highlighters, and we'll make those available. We got to make sure those are here next week. My Bible highlighter, orange, is love. Praise the Lord. Praise is what love does. And we can kind of see, let all that I am praise the Lord. It kind of sounds like the great command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Let all that I am praise the Lord. And then we see the contrast in verse 3. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth, and all their plans will die with them. Is our confidence in the created or in the creator? Think about all the concern and arguments that goes on over politics. And some of you, I'm being serious here, some of you need to fast from social media. Just take a break. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. Don't get so overly concerned about the politics around us, this idea that my tribe needs to get our person into power because they will set things right. Certainly, we are blessed to live in a democracy. I encourage you to be involved, to vote. Don't let yourself, though, be tricked into thinking that voting and government are God's primary instrument to expand in His kingdom reach and His blessings. In Scripture, we see that sometimes, yes, God works through governments. Sometimes He works despite governments. Sometimes He works against governments. The Lord's power transcends the power and influence of the politicians on the world stage today. And if you said amen right now, you would be saying truly or absolutely. Amen. That's a good place for it right there if you just insert it there. A little slow. We're working on it. I'm just glad that we could get a bunch of Central Wisconsiners to all clap at the same time. We're doing well. Continuing in verse 5, but joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Joyful. Now, this has a little asterisk on it, on Israel, because the original is, it says Jacob. Now, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, so the translators thought, we're going to put Israel instead of Jacob, but they gave us a little sign that points us to the bottom of the page. It says, you know, we made a decision here, but originally, whose help, again, you guys, I am like, it's been a long week. Joyful are those who have the God of Jacob as their helper. I think it's interesting that that was in one of the songs that we just sang. Joyful. Those who hope in the Lord do not need to be afraid of the political and economic ups and downs in the world. Our hope is in eternal hope in God, who is not eroded by the waves that change our cultural landscape. He is our foundation, and He will not be moved. God will provide a way for disciples of Jesus to love people, to hear their needs, and to bring relief in the name of Jesus Christ under any administration, political system, or economic conditions. That's the plan. Continuing in verse 6, He made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. God is in the business of undoing the injustices that we bring into the world. Some people say, how could God allow bad things to happen to good, innocent people? But it isn't God who abuses power so that the rich get richer and the poor starve. That's us. That's sin. It isn't God who keeps help from getting to people in a disaster area in order to profit from foreign money that should be applied to relief. That's not God. That's us. That's sin. He's not the one trading real love and real relationships for screens behind doors, within walls, inside fences. That's us. That's sin. He's not profiting from wars that destroy entire cultures and generations. That's us. That's sin. He's not essentially enslaving people and separating them from their families to make cheap products under dangerous conditions to be shipped across the world. That's us. That's sin. Jesus said that anyone who sins is a slave to sin, and He came to set us free. Tammy King led a team to literally feed the hungry in Wausau during backyard missions. One of the encounters that she had was with somebody who had been trying to get a home, to get a place to live. And every time he would try to do the online application for housing assistance, am I saying that right, Tammy? Or okay. Something would go wrong. There'd be the system would crash. Things would not work. Tammy said, "We're gonna do this right now." This guy's birthday happened to be last week, and she said, "For your birthday, you're gonna get a place to live." I mean, essentially. So they sat down and they started working it. Sure enough, this computer crashes. This thing doesn't work, and she says, "We're not giving up. We're just doing it. We're going to do it." And she sent a text. Was that on Friday or Saturday? The days run together. It all runs together. She got word from this guy that it went through. It was approved. He's getting a home. All she was doing was making connections, giving somebody something to eat, but she was having compassion. She was loving, she was listening, she was discerning what God's will would be, and she was responding. This guy's going to have a home now. 1, 2, 3. Yay, God. We didn't plan that. God had it in His plans. It's amazing. So, feeding the hungry is something that it said that this psalmist says God does, gives justice to the oppressed, food to the hungry. Frees the prisoners. Some oppression isn't as obvious. Some hunger isn't as clear and literal. One of the families we served in backyard missions, I already Well, a family we served in Backyard Missions last year, this is cool, I love this. They nominated a family this year. So they were served, and not only that, but they got involved in a project and in helping with food preparation. This family that we had a team serve now became part of a team, put in a nomination. The nomination they put in, I already mentioned we put some windows in. I got onto this project a little bit late, and I went to the upstairs in this older home, and I've been upstairs in older homes before, and I could just imagine how sweltering it could be up there, because the issue was it was old windows and old storms that hung on the outside of the house that they couldn't just open up and let things air out. So it's upper level, it's old windows, and you know how hot and sticky it's been. Well, God gave us a beautiful day, and we had a team up there who took out all the old windows. So there's this amazing breeze coming through this upper level when I walk up there, and I just think, this feels like oppression being lifted. This is beautiful. 8 windows were put on that day. One of the things that we praise God for was that they were standard size windows that were in stock locally. What? So we were able to take them out, put them in. The next day, Russ, who is an amazing window shopper, found another 8 windows for another part of the house in stock, picked them up, and we put those in. And while we were putting those in, we discussed that there were 2 windows that were an odd size. They would have to be custom fit. Russ called the window company, and they said it would be 3 weeks before they could send the custom windows. While he's having that conversation, we're on lunch break, Mike, another guy on the project, says, well, I used to work with a guy who makes custom windows locally. What? Russ called him, and the guy said, usually there's a 2-week lead time, but today is the day that I go to pick up the glass to put inside the vinyl that I custom size. Today is the day I'm going to pick that up. I'm leaving in 10 minutes to do that. Long story short, what has a 2-week lead time, we had those custom windows in 47 hours and had them installed on Friday afternoon. 1, 2, 3. Yay, God. It's amazing. It's amazing that there happened to be a guy who happened to mention that he knows a guy who does custom vinyl windows 10 minutes before the guy was going to go pick up the order, so we didn't have to wait 2 weeks. This is the kind of thing that happens when you just step out in faith and trust God to do something that you couldn't have planned or figured out. I keep getting off track here, you guys. I get so excited. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind, verse 8. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly. These things the Lord does are an expression of love to those who follow Him. Another story unrelated to Backyard Missions. The week before Backyard Missions, my daughter, who we adopted from Ethiopia when she was 12 years old, returned to Ethiopia for the first time since she was adopted. So it's seven years later. I asked her permission if I could tell a little bit about this story. It's been on social media. So one of the stories that came back via email, and I always got to be careful with stuff that I hear. So she had saved up money, and she had gotten some financial gifts for, she just graduated from high school. She had gotten some financial gifts from graduation. This is Howie in the middle. She saved up money so she could go on this trip and so that she could make a financial gift to her biological family. This is her biological mom and her cousin. And they bought this traditional Ethiopian outfit for Howie. So just amazing stories and amazing reunion, but one of the things that I heard via email was that, and we knew this, that Howie's mom has a disease that's causing her sight to degenerate. And one of the emails that we got said that Howie had brought enough money that her mother's sight could be corrected. And I think about that and I start to get tears. But I got to be careful because sometimes things can get missed in communication. So if I told you that, I take it back. Because when Howie came home, that was one of the first things I asked her. Here's the story that I heard. Is that true? And she said, no. She'll be able to get glasses. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So sight to the blind wasn't as literal as my heart was hoping it would be. And yet, the reunion there and the joy and the love, nothing can take anything away from that. How does God bring healing and relief? However he wants to. Ultimately, political powers are not God's primary instrument for executing his will. His gathered disciples, us, we are. This is the other side of the great commandment. First, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then also love your neighbor as yourself. These examples that the psalmist gives us are God's expression of love, and they are to be our expressions of love. That's what Backyard Missions is training us to do. It is about 1 week. It's also about training our hearts to love our neighbor, training our eyes to look for needs, training our hands and feet to meet those needs, and training our mouths to declare the kingdom of God. Verse 9, the Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. God gave specific instructions to the Israelites, who he saved from slavery in Egypt, about how they were to treat resident aliens who would settle among them peacefully. Now, I'm not talking about people who stayed in the land that God had given, and God said, now I've given you that land and you need to move these people out. You need to not let them corrupt you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about oppressed people. I'm talking about refugees. God said, remember how you were treated in Egypt and don't treat other people the same way. Now we may have different ideas in this room. In fact, I hope we do. God created us as a body, diverse people, people with significant differences, finding unity in Christ. We may have different ideas about politics and mechanics of how it looks, but ultimately, a nation of immigrants can join the Lord in protecting and caring for displaced people. Or we can resist God. That's kind of the choice that's given to us here. The Lord protects foreigners among us. He cares for orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. It's more literally translated, the way of the wicked he makes crooked. Picture yourself on a path, running down that path or driving down a road, and the road makes a hairpin turn. That's what it's saying God does to wicked people. They feel like they're headed the right direction. And so they go headlong. God puts a turn there. And the wicked, sooner or later, are going to end up over a cliff in destruction. The Lord has compassion on the foreigners among us, on orphans and widows. And then in verse 10, the Lord will reign forever. He will be your God, O Jerusalem, throughout the generations. Praise the Lord. He will be your God. One of those songs we just sang, O God, let us be a generation that seeks that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. What a great prayer. Let us be a generation that seeks the face of the Lord. So who reigns? The Lord. How long will he reign? When will his reign end? Never. Thank God that his mercy and love continues from generation to generation, across cultures, through hundreds of languages, beyond political and geographic borders. Hallelujah. 1, 2, 3. Yay, God. Want to be part of that mission that God is on? The one-year anniversary of Revive Wisconsin is coming up. You can see the date for that in your program. Be a part of that, of going out, loving, listening, discerning, responding. You can sign up for Backyard Missions 2019 today. Today you can do it. Yeah, because I know that if you tasted and experienced what was going on in Backyard Missions, you want to do it again. And I know if you didn't, you realize now you want to next year. So we want to give you a chance to sign up right away. Get on board, because this train is rolling. And we are excited to see what God is going to do next. Hallelujah. Let's pray. God, we do praise you and thank you for the amazing gifts that you give. It seems like it's never what we expect. It's never how we specifically orchestrated it. It's better. I pray, God, that we would be a people who are open to your way, a better way. I pray that we'd be flexible in our plans and schemes, and that instead of our will being done, that we would say, not my will be done, but yours. And we would taste and see how good your will is, that when your will is done, earth looks more like heaven. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.